Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a leading spokesperson in many of our country's ongoing national debates and has become a clear voice for those who are seeking a return to traditional conservative values. And now, here's Phyllis Schlafly.
The U.S. Supreme Court recently refused to hear the case called Field versus Palmdale. That's the case where the 9th U.S. Circuit Court ruled that a public school can teach students whatever information it wishes to provide, sexual or otherwise, and that parents' right to control the upbringing of their children does not extend beyond the threshold of the school door. The plain fact is that the U.S. Supreme Court does not like to take parents' rights cases and consistently refuses them. This is an outrage, because over the last 2 years, 5 federal circuits have handed down anti-parent decisions that uphold the alleged right of the public schools to teach students whatever information it wishes to provide. Let me list these cases for you. Federal courts upheld the right of public schools to indoctrinate students in the Muslim religion and practices, to force students to watch a 1-hour pro-homosexual video, to force students to attend a program advocating homosexual conduct that used minors in sexually suggestive skits, to censor any mention of intelligent design, to use classroom materials that parents consider pornographic, to force students to answer nosy questionnaires with suggestive questions about sex, drugs, and suicide, and to deny a divorced father's right to get his son's school records. The courts upheld the public schools in prohibiting an anti-gay T-shirt, but ordered the school to permit a very offensive anti-Bush T-shirt. These cases are parents' rights issues and culture issues. Public schools are censoring views that do not conform to the diversity multiculturalism ideology. Years ago, the Supreme Court upheld the constitutional right of any school child to refuse to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. But in these recent cases, neither school nor court offered any child or parent the right to opt out of any of these offensive programs.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report, presented by Eagle Forum, leading America's pro-family movement since 1972. For a free copy of Eagle Forum's pamphlet on what to look for in your child's classroom materials, write to Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Ask for the Parents Evaluate Textbooks Report. That address again, Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. and make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, the man who changes channels 5 minutes before the end of every show, Derry Brownfield.
Hello there, Derry Brownfield here, and I am happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It is the talk show with the country flavor and some common sense points of view. This morning, Jeff came in, brought me my biscuit and sausage and egg sandwich breakfast, and was telling me about a program you watched last night about LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Can I tell it before you get it wrong?
I don't know. It's your story.
I was watching Antiques Roadshow. It's a weekly antique appraisal program on the PBS public station, and a fellow there had brought some photographs that he took. He was a White House photographer back in the day of John F. Kennedy and Cecil Stoughton, and he had a picture of LBJ there. And so it wasn't really an LBJ program. It was an antique program. But nonetheless, he got to tell his story, how he was the White House photographer. And he was in he was in Dallas when Kennedy was shot. He was about five cars behind Kennedy. Said he heard three shots ring out, which really caught my ear because that goes against the official story. But nonetheless, he began telling about how he got to know JFK, and he took all these pictures. He had an autographed picture from John and Jackie, and he had the well-known photograph of LBJ as he was being sworn in as president, with Jackie standing by his side there on the airplane as it headed from Dallas back to Washington, D.C. And LBJ also signed that same photograph later in his presidency. And they valued that picture at about $50,000, and some other JFK photographs that Cecil had at about $25,000. But a very interesting piece on the Antiques Roadshow about those famous, well-known photographs. And then you said to me...
Well, before I say to you, you left out one thing that you told me this morning as to how come that photographer was on that airplane.
Well, he was at the hospital, and JFK had died, and when he learned that JFK had died, they said, the president's leaving. Well, that obviously meant LBJ, and they said, you got to get on that plane because you're the only guy around here with a camera, and you have to document this. And so that was the only camera on board, and we now have that famous picture of LBJ being sworn in on the airplane.
Okay, now, I said, hey, I have a friend that did almost identically the same thing, except it was with JFK. John, what was the F stand for? John
Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald, yeah, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And I said, you know, that would make a pretty interesting show. Let's get Tom on the air with us. I met Tom Hoy many years ago. He was a spokesperson for the Rural Electric Cooperatives there in Washington, D.C. And he showed up at all the farm broadcaster meetings, and we got to be very good friends, still are. In fact, I visited with him just this fall in Kansas City. And I said, Tom Hoy did almost identical the same thing with JFK. So we have with us today Tom Hoy. Tom, hi. Good to have you on the program.
Oh, hello, Derry. It's good to be with you and good to talk about these great old days.
Yes. Now, tell us how you got your famous picture of John Kennedy.
Derry, can I go back just a touch?
Hey, it's your show. You bring us up to the
Washington Star in Washington, D.C. as a photographer on the day that Kennedy was shot in Dallas. And we were an AP newspaper. We didn't get United Press. And when the shots rang out, the United Press guy, who was a reporter in the pool, he grabbed the telephone and held on to it. His name was Smith, Merriman Smith. And the AP was beaten by, let's say, 8 or 10 minutes on saying that the shots rang out and he was shot. As a matter of fact, I think Merriman Smith said he was shot and killed. But anyway, I was in the newsroom and at the Star in the sports department, and a guy came up to me and he said, "Oh, your wife's on the phone." I said, "Oh, okay, I'll call." So I go pick up the phone, and my wife says, "Have you heard that President Kennedy's been shot in Dallas?" And I'm standing in a newsroom of a big newspaper, a big metropolitan newspaper, and we're all sitting there doing nothing. And what had happened again was the AP had been scooped, they didn't get it, and we didn't get it over the wires. And just as I ran over to tell the city editor about it, the bells went off for a bulletin, and then the AP had it that he was shot in Dallas. And Derry, that day I went out and took pictures at the White House, and I spent the night at the White House and took a picture. It was in the front page of the Washington Star, and the picture shows the hearse coming in through the gates of the White House, and I'm looking at it right now. It was Washington, D.C., Saturday, November 13th, 1963. And, Derry, they brought it in, and there was a handful of us. You know, it's amazing in those days. There was only maybe 8, 10, maybe 15 would be a lot of news people and covering something. There was just a handful of us. And Mrs. Kennedy came down to the press room in the West Wing and said, could we come up? And so we went up at night. We came outside, walked up through the portico inside and saw the casket in the East Room. And, it was dark, ominous, cold, and lots of people talking about the conspiracies to shoot other people, and kind of a scary time. But anyway, I was there, took pictures, and spent the night there when his body came back.
Okay, when you spend the night in the White House, you know, the only person I ever personally knew that spent the night in the White House was Monica. So I don't know, where did they put you in the White House?
Well, when I say spent the night, we just sat around the newsroom.
Oh, I see.
They had a newsroom, and of course each one of the newspapers and the wire services had little offices. So we when I say spent, I didn't mean they checked us in and, you know.
Okay, yeah.
No. We just stood around, and as I said, there was a lot of theory and thought that this could be a conspiracy and other people would be shot, and yeah, it was kind of a scary, dangerous time. But no, they just let us stand around and wait. And as I said, we saw that, and then the next day after the funeral, I was on the street and took pictures of the Kennedy family walking along up towards St. Matthew's Cathedral.
Now,
so I was very fortunate to be a photographer in those days and cover it from Washington, D.C., Derry, and covered a lot of great stuff, including the picture that you've alluded to of President Kennedy.
Yeah, we're going to get to that right after this commercial message. Let's stand by. Our number, 1-800-973-3779. Your calls are welcome. We're visiting today with Tom Hoy, now retired, but spent much of his business life taking pictures and also working with the rural electric cooperatives.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say, go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
And we have returned. We're visiting today with a good friend of mine named Tom Hoy. Tom, I guess we've known each other for what, 25, 30 years, haven't we?
Easy that, Derry. I know we met at the farm broadcasters meetings when they started them up in Kansas City. And, you know, I've now been to 37 farm broadcaster meetings, including two when you all would meet in Chicago. And then, of course, went on out to Kansas City. And, boy, it's been great. I've made friends and with you and others all across the country. What a great group. And I look forward to seeing you guys again in November.
Okay, but before that, by the way, you came out to our potato shoot, if I remember right.
Did, and that was when I came back home, I bragged about people here, tell them all about how I was a champion potato shooter.
Listen, before we get to how you got this fantastic picture of JFK, I was at the White House when Jimmy Carter, I didn't pronounce his name right, Jimmy Carter.
Carter.
When Jimmy Carter was president. And it was some sort of a deal. I don't remember how I got invited, but I went along with a group. It was an NAFB thing also. And, you know, when you go into the White House, I don't know how this is back. Well, how long ago was Jimmy Carter president? I could look upon my little thingy here, but I don't have time. Anyway, it was many years ago. And, you know, you go in, you check in, you have to do this ahead of time. You send in all of your papers. Let me see your paper, please. And then they give you this little thing to hang around your neck with your name on it. And we're all walking kind of like the elephants do going into the circus tent, you know, one in front of the other one. And we're all walking down the hall, and a Secret Service agent walked up to me and pulled out his little thing said White House Secret Service on there, and he says, I need to talk to you. And he pulled me out of the line. And I wasn't particularly upset over it, but you wonder, well, what? Why me? So he starts asking me questions. He said, Derry Brownfield, he said, are you from Missouri? And I said, yes. He said, do you know anything about California, Missouri? And I said, yeah, yes, that's my hometown. Well, he said, it's my hometown.
Yeah, great.
And he says this, and I can't remember his first name, but for my listeners there at California, it was Ray Eckert's kid. Ray Eckert was a professional wrestler back in the 1940s. He was Pacific Coast champion. He wrestled Lou Thesz for the world title and lost, but we thought everything of Ray Eckert, and he owned businesses there in California. He owned a Standard Station for a while, and then owned, I can't remember, but one of the major retail outlets there in town for a while, and it was his boy. And he just recognized my name. Of course, he was a little kid when I was growing up, but anyhow, those things just kind of happen sometimes. Now, when we get back, we'll have time. I'd like for you to tell about how you got that fantastic picture of JFK. And I bet most of our listeners that are old enough to remember have seen that picture, because it went around the world and made you famous, by the way. Let's stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
And we have returned. Now, like I've said, we're visiting today with Tom Hoy, and you really got a feather in your cap when you took that picture, although the Secret Service didn't think it was funny. But bring us up to date on this.
Okay. Derry, the picture was made at a gala celebrating the first anniversary of the inauguration of President Kennedy, and they held it at what was then the National Armory, National Guard Armory in Washington, and there was all kind of stars there. Frank Sinatra was there, and Carol Channing, and a whole bunch of them. And as they were performing, the spotlights would come down on them as they came up to perform. And I thought, well, wow, if the president does that, if he stands where they do, that'd be a great picture. So when the entertainment was over and the president was announced to come up, I stood my ground while they moved us all around. The Secret Service came up and said, you can't be here behind the president. And everybody else went down in front of the podium. And I hesitated, waited, till he finally got up there. And I got one click of the picture, one shot, and that was it. Then they made me move. And I thought, I hope I got it. When I got back, of course, to the dark room, and there it is. He's looking to his right, gesturing like he does, and it's a sure shot of the president at the podium with those striking spotlights on him. And I tell people, I say, you know, if that had been the mayor of Poughkeepsie, New York, it would have been a great shot. But the fact that it was JFK made it even greater. And then, Daria, the picture was in the Washington Star the next day, and the phone rang in the newsroom, and it was Pierre Salinger, who was then the press secretary for Kennedy, and he said, "Tom, the family really likes that picture. Can we have some copies?" And I said, "Sure, I'll come on over." So I printed a group of them, walked over to the White House, because we were then very close to the White House, and went in. And Daria, you were talking about all the what you had to go through in those days to get in and out of the White House. Well, in my day, this is the early 60s, and before any of the assassinations, there was absolutely minimal security. Now, there were Secret Service people around. I'm sure they were watching. But you could move in and out and go around and come back and forth. And once you did it two or three times, you got to be a whole friend, and they just kind of waved you in. And I took them in to Pierre Salinger, and he had the president autograph one for me, and it's to Tom Hoy with best regards, and that's hanging on my wall here. And after hearing the story about the antique roadshow cost, I'm gonna get this appraised, because I thought it was worth something, but not near as high as Jeff was talking about.
Hey, you know, we get a 10% finder's fee.
Yeah, hey, we can't cut too many people. I got you on the road here, Daria. But one of the great things, too, is that Mrs. Kennedy liked that picture and sent me a note thanking me for a copy of it. And it's signed by Jackie Kennedy, Jacqueline Kennedy, and that's hanging on my wall, too. And one of these days when you get back to Washington and come back to visit the White House, give me a call, Daria, and I'd like to have you out and see the photo wall I have.
That'd be wonderful. Now, I wondered, who owns the pictures?
Well, you know, that's a little touchy now, because the Washington Star, my old newspaper, is now out of business. It folded in 1981. And of course, I have the negative, and I have the prints, of course, and I have the negative. I'm assuming that it's mine until some lawyer wants to raise the question.
Until you get $100,000 for it.
Well, if I do, I'm coming out for more than a potato shoot. We're going to shoot some water with that one. But Daria, that was great times that I had as a newspaper guy, young like that, and I worked there until I was 30. I went to work for the Star in 1953. I was 17 years old. My father died when I was in high school, so my twin brother and I said, let's go to work for the newspaper. So he went to work for the Washington Post, and I went to work for the Washington Star. And we just had a great career, and he ended up a photojournalism professor at the University of Arizona. So it was great for us. It was a great time. I look back on it, and it's just really terrific to remember this with you, and go over the days of that picture and what time it was for me.
Do you have extra copies of that picture?
You know, I can send you one, Daria. Let me get a copy and I'll mail you one.
Okay, and I would like for you to say, picture taken such and such a date, such and such a place by Tom Hoy.
Okay. Sure, and I'll send it to you. One real quick thing I want to say about Cecil Stoughton, who I knew, he was at the White House, and he was an Army photographer, and he was assigned to the White House, and he took a lot of the pictures of the family pictures. And one time, a guy from Time Magazine asked him, he said, "Well, you know, you have all these pictures, and you don't get any credit for it. It isn't your name on it." And he said, "Well, I know I took them. And the president knows I took them, and that's all that cares." So that was really a nice thing, and I always kind of live by that you can't get credit for everything, but you know you took them, and God knows you took them, and sometimes the president knows you took them.
Listen, and I'll tell you what, we have the greatest listeners in the world. You know, I was talking about getting pulled out of the line when I was in the White House,
right,
and by the Secret Service, and it was a grown-up adult kid from my hometown. And we already have a call. His name was Gordon Eckert. I couldn't remember his first name. His father was pretty famous as far as I was concerned. But Then they were in the oil business. They had the Standard Oil station there as well as the Western Auto store. I got all this information
right.
from people that are listening. Hey, we've got another caller or two. Can you stay with us through this next commercial break?
I sure can.
Okay, let's do that.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Friends, I've been getting some good reviews from everyone that's purchased one of my specially designed, hand-engraved, made in the good old U.S. of A. Zippo pocket knife. Now, let me tell you about it. On one side, it has the Derry Brownfield Show logo. It's all engraved. And on the other side is Happy Trails. It's a 2-inch lock blade. It folds into a 3-inch case, and it comes in its own box. And it is a perfect gift for any occasion. It looks pretty good in your display case, but it's also very good for daily use, which I highly recommend. It's shiny, it's sharp, and it's a Zippo, as I said, made in the U.S. of A. And you can see it in full color on my website at DerryBrownfield.com. Now, the supply is limited. We didn't buy that many. If you want to get one, you need to do it while we have them. They're delivered to your mailbox for $40 each. So send check, cash, or money order to the Derry Brownfield Show, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023.
SwissAmerica.com reports Monday gold prices steadied near $925 an ounce on a flat dollar and higher oil prices. Gold closed in New York down 80 cents to $922.40. Silver rose 29 cents to $1,747. Platinum hit another record of $1,935 an ounce on supply concern. Gold may hit $1,000 and platinum may hit $2,000 by the end of the first quarter, said William Kwan to Reuters. More at SwissAmerica.com. Gold should be telling you many things. First, inflation is 2 to 3 times higher than reported. Second, the Fed will sacrifice the dollar to fight a recession. Third, gold prices, having already tripled since 2001, must nearly triple again to exceed their 1980 high. Swiss America has compressed 25 years into a 25-minute Gold 101 DVD kit that's free. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-289-2646.
Wendell Fleshman will be holding a special bred heifer and cow and bull sale this coming Saturday, that's February the 16th, at the Milan, Missouri Livestock Market. Now, Bob Sherrill has consigned a ripping set of 2-year-old Fancy Angus heifers. There are 62 head of these heifers. They weigh from 11 to 1,200 pounds, and they're bred to registered Angus bulls, and they'll start calving March the 10th, and they'll all be calved out in a 100-day period. Other early consignments include a 30-head string of black and black baldy 5-year-olds with 3 to 400-pound calves by their sides, 30-head of older cows. They'll be short and solid to a few broken mouths, but they'll all have nice babies, and they're by their side at the present time. Here's a 50-head string of black and black baldies bred to Angus bulls to start calving in February, and a 20-head offering of black 5- and 6-year-olds that are calving now. And Rosendale Farms will be in with a set of 4- and 5- and 6-year-olds that'll be calving in a couple of weeks. That's for the special bred heifer and cow sale coming up this Saturday at the Milan, Missouri Livestock Auction.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. And here's the star of the show and the man who walks with an accent, Derry Brownfield.
And we are back. Still have with us Tom Hoy, who is a great photographer. I say was. I'm sure he still is. You know, Tom, have you moved into this fancy
digital,
electronic digital stuff that they have today, or do you still shoot the old-fashioned film?
Well, I'm just moving into it, Derry, as we talk. When I travel now, basically I take pictures of my grandchildren and a few other things. But, yeah, I'm beginning to move into digital, mainly because you don't have to buy film and load it shoot the pictures and take it in and wait a couple days till the film comes back. So, no, this is good, and I'm just starting into the digital part.
What about, and I'm going back to when you took the picture of Kennedy from after the Secret Service had said, hey, you can't be back here.
Right.
Today, they would have probably, you would have ended up with a caved-in skull in handcuffs, and they would have broken your camera, right?
Well, yeah, you know, because more and more, there's a multitude of photographers and cameramen and technicians and TV cameras, and you would have, maybe the night I took that picture, there might have been three or four other photographers. Now, in the same setting, you would have, with the television people there, you would have 100 people pushing and shoving and moving. So they control them a lot more. In other words, there's more of them, and they're controlled. They take them all in front, put them there behind ropes, and that's all they can do. Where in my day, you did have a little leeway. You could move around a little bit. You could, like I did, hesitate enough to get that shot. But now with the multitudes of people, hordes of them, I mean, you see it on TV, some setting where there's a news event and there's 200 news people there and television cameras and pushing and shoving, and oh, it's a mess. I'm glad I didn't have that. I had the good days.
And you had different people running the show.
You know, you did. I think that's a good insight. Yeah, you did. There was I think people that got along with them. Pierre Salinger was an old newsman. He was a press secretary. He understood what your job was, and he would help you get it. And you understood what his job was, and he had to do certain things. But I think you're right. It was an atmosphere that I was very, very fortunate to be part of, and lucky in that. And you know, Derry, after I left the newspaper business, I went with the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association to edit their monthly magazine, and traveled all over the country doing stories for the magazine about rural electric people and the electricity benefits they were bringing to the rural areas. And I love that. I thought that was terrific too. I thought that was one of the nicest jobs, to go up those dirt roads and meet all those nice people and those farm broadcasters. That was fun. I hooked up with the farm broadcasters because I knew they knew the territory, and they were always a big help.
You know, you mentioned editing the Rural Electric newspaper. I wrote for the Missouri edition of that newspaper.
I remember that. As a matter of fact, I think we met even before farm broadcasters, or certainly about the same time, because you were writing a column for them.
Okay. Now, this is the interesting thing. I did this for over 2 years. I've got probably 25 or 30 articles that I had written, because it was a monthly thing, and I did one a month.
Right.
And they fired me.
Oh, well, they did?
Yeah, because they said, Derry, you're just too controversial for our readers. Well, I was getting all kinds of fan mail from their readers, you see. So I didn't hardly believe that was right, but nevertheless, I kept those copies. So you heard us talking about Paragon Foundation here a while ago.
I heard that, right.
Well, they get out a newsletter every month. And so Nicole said, Derry, I wish you would give us an article once a month. Well, we get out our own newsletter, so I didn't want to write one. You know, I write 8 or 10 a month. It's difficult to come up with really good stuff because I'm not a writer.
Right.
But I thought, hey, I've got all these old articles that I did for Rural Electric. And I've gone back. And honestly, I did this back in 1980 and 81. All I have to do is change some figures and some names, and I send them in, and they think they're great.
Isn't that great? Well, you know, you were a man, at least, and might not have been ahead of your time, but you were certainly with your time.
Well, if they thought I was so controversial then, and I talked about the economy, I talked about the Great Depression and how we can't overspend our budget, and I went into these things, and I kind of made some of them were kind of humorous, you know, but it's, and today, Tom, this very moment, there are people out there that do not want to hear the truth.
Yep.
In fact, I wrote an article for our Chronicle now just the other day about having, and said what I just now said, and I said, had people of a listened back in 1980 to those few of us that were out there, you know, we were the lone wolf crying in the wilderness, or the lone voice, maybe, I don't know, whatever we were out there crying in the wilderness, if people could have just turned this thing around way back then, hey, we wouldn't be having these problems today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess when you do anything like write an article or even on the radio, you don't know where it's going exactly. You hope it's going to the right people and influencing people, having them think more than anything. They might not change their minds, but at least you want them to think about the thing. And that's a shame. I didn't realize that, Gary. I had no idea you were terminated by them.
Well, I didn't miss the salary because I wasn't getting paid anyway.
Well, they did you a favor, maybe, because I don't care what you write or how you are. Sitting down and writing a column is tough. That's like just opening up a vein and bleeding all over the paper, because it's tough to write.
Writing has a great advantage over broadcasting.
Yeah.
What you and I say now goes out over the air. Once we say it, it's gone. It's not coming back.
Right.
You can read that column over and over and over. You can show it to someone else and said, hey, what do you think of this? You see?
Yeah.
But boy, when we talk here on the air, I always say, I don't know if I said that or not. I can go back and listen and see if I did.
Right.
But I talk so fast sometimes I say things that I haven't thought of yet.
Yeah. Well, again, though, I think the value of what you're doing and what makes really America great is diverse opinions and people that speak up. A lot of people are afraid to speak up. A lot of people don't know how to do it. And I think that, you get it from, everybody should listen and read and let them make up their own minds. But you've got to have the diversity out there. If it's not, we're in big trouble.
You know, and so many people say, oh, that Brownfield, he's a radical nut, you know. And my answer to that is, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to believe what I say. I want you to think about it. And if you think that what I've said is such a radical point of view, prove me wrong.
Right, yeah, right.
Get the documents, and with the electronic devices we have today, you can get on the internet, you can go right into the Department of Agriculture's, you can get all of their documents, you can find bills on there that they're voting on in Congress. You can, if you'll just do a little research, you'll see that some of us that are thought to be kooks out there know what we're talking about.
Right. Well, that's right. Until proven wrong, your opinion is as good as anybody's. And what you hope is, as I said, to change opinion and have people think and say, well, wait a minute, let me think this thing through. And you might not convert everybody, but you sure want them doing a little more thinking about it.
Let's go to the telephones. Ed's been holding for a long, long time. Ed, thanks for your patience.
All right. While you fellas were talking about John F. Kennedy's assassination, I was teaching at Navy Pier, which was part of the University of Chicago at the time. We heard about the shooting. We went to the stock room where there was a TV, and students were walking past and seeing what had happened. And all of a sudden, a group of students that I knew who had been at the Bay of Pigs, they were Cubans, came by celebrating. Some of them had been invaders working with the CIA, and some had been in jail. They had been in med school and had been jailed, and they were sent to be medics at the Bay of Pigs. And these guys, I ran out, I said, hey, you better not let the other people see that you're celebrating, or they're going to beat the living daylights out of you.
In other words, they were celebrating the fact that JFK was dead, right?
Right, because they thought that he had stuck him in the back when he hadn't given the planes at the Bay of Pigs that had been promised by his brother, Bobby. Bobby promised them that they would have airplane coverage.
Right. They did leave them out there. They left them out there very vulnerable.
Yeah.
We have to take a break. Stand by.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Yeah, Ed, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and finish your comments.
The one fellow was Castro's cousin, and he bragged that he used to burn the sugarcane fields. Another one of the students, whose name was Ramonda, one day he wasn't in class. I said, "Where is he at?" He had rented a boat, mounted a machine gun on it, and went to Havana Harbor and shot it up and got picked up by the Coast Guard on the way back.
You know, you talk about burning sugar cane. They burn sugar cane. I mean, that's part of the harvesting process.
Yeah, but this was at an inconvenient time.
Okay, but I know they set that sugar cane on fire. I've been over to Hawaii when they were actually burning sugar cane fields.
Right.
They do it to get the leaves off of there so they don't have to put up with the leaves when they the stalks don't burn, apparently.
Well, this was before the harvest.
Yeah, okay. All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Ed. You know, Tom, we were talking about people with different ideas. Do you know who Charlie Reese is? You probably know Charlie Reese.
Vaguely.
Okay. Let me. I think I've got. How much time do I have here? 2 minutes. I don't know if I can do this in 2 minutes or not. But let me read you his today's article. Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems and then campaign against them. And I'm thinking about what I was writing about in 1980. Okay. Have you ever wondered why? If both the Democrats and the Republicans are against deficits, we have deficits. Have you wondered why? If all the politicians are against inflation and high taxes, Why do we have inflation and high taxes? You and I don't propose a federal budget. The president does. You and I don't have the constitutional authority to vote on appropriations. The House of Representatives does. You and I don't write the tax code. Congress does. You and I don't set fiscal policy. Congress does. You and I don't control monetary policy. The Federal Reserve Bank does. 100 senators. Now, this is the interesting part. 100 senators. 435 congressmen, one president, and 9 Supreme Court justices. That adds up to 545 human beings out of 300 million are directly, legally, and morally and individually responsible for our problems that plague this country. He said, I excluded the members of the Federal Reserve Board because that problem was created by Congress also. I excluded all the special interests and lobbyists for a sound reason. They have no legal authority. They have no ability to coerce a senator, a congressman, or a president to do one cotton-picking thing. I don't care if they offer a politician $1 million in cash. A politician has the power to either accept it or reject it. No matter what the lobbyists promise, it's the legislator's responsibility to determine how he votes. Those 545 human beings spend much of their energy convincing you that what they did was not their fault. They cooperate in this common con regardless of party. It seems inconceivable to me that a nation of 300 million cannot replace 545 people who stand convicted by present facts of incompetence and irresponsibility. Let's take a break.
Well.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Recently, a guest on the Derry Brownfield Show, Dr. Michael Kaufman, talked about his newest DVD called Global Warming or Global Governance. Dr. Kaufman says that global warming is real, but...
However, it's not being caused by man. It's part of a natural cycle. And that's why it's so confusing to people, is because you won't find any science to say that we're not having some global warming. But when you understand it in the context, it's very, very obvious. And I take it down step by step as to how this is being implemented, so that the person who is very skeptical and would begin to understand that there really is a huge agenda out there. And that's why they're trying to ram this man-caused global warming garbage down our throats, because they want control over the U.S. economy. And the Kyoto Protocol is the way to do it.
Get the DVD, Global Warming or Global Governance, by Dr. Michael Kaufman. Send $15 check, cash, or money order to Common Sense Coalition, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023.
Once upon a time, I was in the magazine business, which turned out to be a big mistake. But my friend G.B. Oliver, who's executive director of the Paragon Foundation, produces a beautiful magazine. And to tell you about it, here's G.B.
Well, you know, the thing about our magazine is we're not using that as a profit center.
See, we were trying to.
Yeah, see, I'm not using it for that. I'm using that magazine to educate people and inform people about what's going on. If you've got internet capabilities, look up paragonfoundation.org. We put out a newsletter every month. If you want to look at one of those, just tell her to send you one. She'd be glad to send you one. Look it over and look at what we're about and see if this is part of an organization you'd like to play in.
1-877-847-3443. Nicole's busy. She's there by herself, so just keep trying. You'll get her.
You bet.
And whoever's on the phone with her now, tell her not to go to lunch. She shouldn't do that on company time anyway. That's 877-847-3443, or go online to paragonfoundation.org. Tom, this is the fastest hour of the day, at least it is for me. We are in the home stretch here. We have about 4 minutes left, something like that. But isn't that an interesting, and I had never really thought of that quite exactly like the article that I just read by Charlie Reese.
Right.
But here we have, and he's got it pegged, we have 545 people that run this country, if they would run it. And what, you know, if they would have read the articles I wrote back in 1980, We could have eliminated them, put people in there that were constitutionally minded, and, hey, we wouldn't be having the problems we're having today.
Right. Well, I guess, Derry, any communicator, no matter whether it's broadcast or print or photography or anything, you do want to influence people and change minds and get them to thinking. And, of course, now with the presidential debates going on and the primaries all across the country, we have one today, as a matter of fact, Derry. I haven't voted yet, but it's coming up today here in Virginia District in Maryland, and in both parties. So that's a time to really reflect, and I think the article you just read is a heck of a way to make people think that way, that their vote hopefully will change some of this, and hopefully will influence some people, and change the course of the time. And I guess all we got to do is keep it trying.
545 people. See, I don't know why Congress didn't impeach the Supreme Court justices that voted for this eminent domain thing like they did. I mean, you can look at anybody that can read the Constitution and see that that's unconstitutional the way they did that. And by the way, they're going to do the same. What are they going to do on the gun situation in D.C.?
Here in D.C.?
Yeah, because, that's in front of the Supreme Court right now.
I live in Maryland, so,
Yeah, but Maryland is still, I understand that, but you know what's going on in Washington, D.C. if you live in Maryland.
That's right. Well, I guess, too, looking back at Derry, when I was working at the paper, it was a simpler time, and you felt you were closer to people, and certainly, just with the security, you could actually walk in and out of the White House, if you were with the news people, and there was a big difference. I think the more security we have, the less security we have. And I don't know, maybe we just keep hitting away. And I know you're on the air trying to talk to people. And I know when we first met, I think we talked, and sometimes we didn't argue so much, but we disagreed. And yet I'd come home and I'd say, well, maybe Derry's closer to it than I am. That's another thing. You gotta believe people or talk to people who are there and who know about it.
So you're going to go to vote today. You're going to do your civic duty.
Do my civic duty and hope for the best. And, Derry, it's been a pleasure to be with you. And as I said, I'm retired now, and I'm an honorary member of the Farm Broadcasters, which is a real good honor. I really, really appreciate that. And knowing Farm Broadcasters across the country has been a real joy. And I don't go to some of the regional meetings. Remember when Farm Broadcasters had the regional meetings across the country? And that was always fun.
Well, those summer meetings were the good ones.
Summer meetings, that's what they call them, summer meetings. Yeah, not regional. But that was super because you got out, and you had one. I remember that's how, I think you've had a couple. But the big meeting in Kansas City is getting too big. It's almost kind of hard to even hook up with people sometimes.
I'm really disappointed in a lot of the farm broadcasters today. Back in the 1950s, the farm broadcasters had been county agents, or they had been cattle buyers, or they had been VOAG instructors, and they really understood this thing from that farmer's point of view. Today, so many of our farm broadcasters are just mouthpieces for the multinational corporations because that's where the money is. And see, I can't get those kind of accounts because I don't agree with much of what the multinational corporations are doing. So anyway, it's a hard row to hoe, but we do the best we can with the tools we got. And now it's time for me to say, may the good Lord bless and keep you while the near far away. May the good you wish for others shine on you today. May your heart stay tuned to music that'll cheer the hearts of man. May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Who cares about the clouds and where to get?